Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one in the chair in front of you. And if you find that Bible, then turn to page number 887. Page number 887 in that black pew Bible. As you know, we finished 1 Peter, told you that there are several topics that I was hoping to go through for part of the summer. We've covered a number of those. Lord willing, we'll be looking at the Christian and government. The Christian and government or politics next week. But I really wanted to spend some time in John chapter 3 today because of what's happened this past week with LEGO Adventure Week. A good opportunity for us to review in our minds and our hearts about the gospel and sharing the gospel. Some of us say that we're afraid to witness or evangelize because we're not sure what to say. So frequently on Sunday mornings, I will stop during the sermon and say, here's something you need to know. To pass along, to share with someone else. And because of what happened this week, I want to take some time today. We had, many of you came yesterday to Mateo's graduation open house, and as some of you know, we used to live in Mosheri's subdivision. Another boy in the sub graduated from high school this year, so we left Mateo's party and went over to Jimmy's party. How many of you were in Brandon's Bible school meeting last week? Okay, downstairs at 9 o'clock. So he used the illustration of Jimmy Chavi last week. You heard that name last week? Well, Jimmy Chavi graduated from high school, and that's whose open house we went to yesterday. So just you can make the connection. For years, we brought the Chavi kids to Vacation Bible School, and Kelly, the mom, said to Ann and I yesterday, you cannot begin to imagine the impact that Vacation Bible School had on our family. And we praise the Lord for that. But at Mateo's party, and then later at Jimmy's party, we bumped into another family from our subdivision, our old subdivision, and we got a chance to talk to the kids, and Ann used to teach those kids piano lessons, and the girl's name is Emma, and as I was talking to Emma yesterday, asking her about extracurricular activities that she's involved in, and she said she was on the forensics team at Walled Lake Western. And she said to me, it's not forensic science. And I said, I get it. I know what forensics are. She said, you do? And I said, yeah. So you're on the forensics team. I said, Walled Lake Western has a pretty good team. She said, yes. I said, so what events are you in? And so she listed two or three events. And I said, so listen, how do you get ready for a forensic competition? And she said, I practice. Now, if you don't know what forensics is, it's speaking. It's public speaking, a variety, different kinds of public speaking. And I thought it was really interesting that a teenage girl said to me she had to practice talking. But listen, if Emma on the forensics team at Walled Lake Western has to practice talking, then we should practice talking. We should practice talking the gospel. So when you're riding in the car alone, you turn off the radio and you practice talking the gospel. Say it out loud like someone's sitting there listening to you. And when someone is sitting there listening to you, you turn off the radio again and you say, listen, my pastor said I need to practice this. So would you mind listening to me while I practice? And use that as an excuse to share the gospel with them if they're unsaved, or if they are saved, to ask them, listen, was there something I said I should have said differently or better or whatever? We need to practice this. And so Today is about John chapter 3 because it's always good for us to hear the gospel, and it's good for us to think about the gospel and then think about how am I going to give it away, where am I going to give it away, to whom am I going to give it away, and so this is what we're looking at. So you have your Bible open to John chapter 3. Will you join me in standing, please? I'm just going to read a couple verses to begin. We'll read others as we go along. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, just to put in context, verse 1, Nicodemus is a Pharisee, which has to do with his religion. He's a ruler of the Jews, which has to do with the fact that he's in the ruling council, which is called the Sanhedrin. And then if you look at verse 10, he is the teacher of Israel. We're not quite sure exactly what that means, except that he was one of the premier teachers in Israel, so that he's at the top of things religiously in Israel. Heavenly Father, it's always good for us to hear the gospel, to remind ourselves, to preach the gospel to ourselves, to be prepared to preach it to others. Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ, we ask that as we lift him up today, that you will draw this person to Jesus Christ. Lord, teach us through your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We really don't know a lot about Nicodemus. We would say from the little bit that we do know that he was probably not a young man. And the reason we say that is he had to be at least 30 to be a member of the Sanhedrin. But because of his position that's mentioned in verse 10, he, as a premier teacher in Israel, he's probably an older man. That's just an assumption, but he's probably not a young man. The Pharisee speaks to his religion. He was incredibly religious and very conservative in his religion. The fact that he's a ruler in the Sanhedrin speaks to his power of position and influence. And then again, verse 10, he has reached a level of preeminence as a teacher, which means he is probably educated, well-educated. The fact that he is a part of the Sanhedrin probably speaks to his wealth. He is probably a wealthy man, and he is a powerful man. And yet, he comes to Jesus at night. Now, that in and of itself isn't cause for bells and whistles. It could have been that it was just easier for him to go in the evening than it was during the day. But the way John words this, the indication is he didn't want anybody to know he was coming. So he comes to Jesus, and he comes at night. And look at verse 2. He's respectful. Now, other members of the Sanhedrin, whether they're Pharisees or Sadducees, don't like Jesus. And as a matter of fact, if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see numerous occasions where these members of the Sanhedrin, again, whether Sadducees or Pharisees, are not respectful of Jesus. But Nicodemus is, which says a lot about him. Not just that he's well-mannered, he's polite, but that he realizes he's talking to somebody unique, somebody special. And we see about Nicodemus, he is insightful. You are a teacher come from God. The other members of the Sanhedrin weren't saying this. But Nicodemus is having trouble fitting the pieces of the puzzle together. Because of his education, his experience, Jesus is confusing to him. Jesus is somebody who naturally he would reject, but he finds himself drawn to Jesus. And so he's having a hard time figuring this out. He says, unless God is with him. He recognizes something about Jesus, but he's not quite sure what it is. Basically, and you look at this yourself, this is my conclusion. Nicodemus is asking Jesus, who are you? Who are you? Verse 3, Jesus hijacks the conversation. Nicodemus seems to be asking, who are you? And Jesus says, let me answer that by telling you what I can do for you. You must be born again. Nicodemus said, God is with him. Jesus countered with, listen, you can't see God. You can't see God unless you are born again. You know what? Everyone wants to go to heaven. Not only that, everyone thinks that everyone goes to heaven, except for the really bad people. And then if you ask who doesn't get to go to heaven, they've only got five names to give you. Hitler, Stalin, whatever. Our culture is inclined to think everybody goes to heaven. Now, I'm not a follower of the NBA. I like it when the Pistons win, so I'm disappointed a lot. Goes with the Tigers, the Lions, and the Red Wings right now. But I'm not an NBA guy. But I did happen to turn on ESPN the other day, and they were giving a summary of the draft, which just happened this week. And it was interesting, several of the college guys who were drafted in the NBA this week had someone that they were thanking, and many of those people who had someone that they were thanking, several of them, it was a deceased family member. One guy in particular had a big chain around his neck, and hanging from the chain was a picture of his dad. And this guy who just got drafted in the NBA and from a few minutes went from whatever his financial situation to becoming a multimillionaire. And he says, his dad hanging on his neck, he says, I wish my dad could be here to see this. But I know he's looking down. See, that's the assumption. He said, I know my dad's seeing all this. My dad's hearing all of this. I know my dad's happy for me. Because that's the assumption. When grandpa dies, he goes to heaven. And now grandpa gets to go fishing every day. Grandpa gets to play golf every day. And grandpa is my guardian angel. He's watching over me. He's protecting me. He sees everything that happens. And that's just the assumption. Now, I don't know if that's Nicodemus's assumption, but Jesus addresses that point, which makes you think that's kind of where Nicodemus is coming from, because Jesus says, listen, you can't see the Father unless you're born again. So it doesn't matter if you're an NBA prospect or anyone else. Our misconception about heaven and who gets to go there, well, it's because we don't want to think about the alternatives. if Grandpa's not in heaven fishing and playing golf, then where is Grandpa? And I don't want to think about that. I just want Grandpa to be happy. So I don't want to think about where in the world Grandpa could be. So look at verse 4. Nicodemus says, in response to Jesus, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, Nicodemus is thinking biologically, humanly. He's not thinking spiritually. And why should he think spiritual birth? He thinks physical birth. He's thinking biological birth. And without getting too disgusting, physical birth is blood and water. That's physical birth. Blood and water. And whether you've ever witnessed a birth or not, you know that. And Psalm 139 gives us these great truths. Before I was ever conceived in my mother's womb, God knew me. God knew me. Some of you, Psalm 139 is your favorite psalm. Last week, the message on parenting, I referred to the fact that before we ever thought about our kids, they were the twinkle in our eye. When we were only the twinkle in our parents' eye, or before our parents were ever conceived, God knew us. And Nicodemus, he starts thinking biologically, humanly, physical birth. That's all he knows. All he knows is water and blood, birth. I don't think he's being facetious here in verse 4. I think he's being serious. I mean, the whole conversation points to the fact Nicodemus wants some answers to some questions, so I don't think he's being a smart aleck in verse 4 when he says this. So, Jesus presses on. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," Nicodemus is thinking blood and water birth. Jesus says water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, Jesus alludes to the prophet Ezekiel. And if you look at verses 5 and 6, Jesus is taking this, he's pulling this from the prophet Ezekiel. So, if you would turn in your Bible, leave a finger in John chapter 3, and turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 is on page number 724. Now, while you're turning, I just want to point out, here we have a guy who is incredibly religious. And that's an understatement. He is at the top of his religion. He is the premier teacher in Israel. He knows the scripture. Jesus speaks to this guy who teaches the scripture. Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about the scripture. Why? Because Nicodemus knows the scripture. And so Jesus uses this as an illustration. So when we go to Ezekiel chapter 36, look at verse 22. I know we're jumping in the middle of this, and you can go read the whole thing for yourself. This is talking about the glory of God's name, and you can see that heading there in verse 16. Then look at verse 22. "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. God says through Ezekiel, I'm going to work in human hearts for my own glory. Look at verse 25. Hold that thought, but look at verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. This clean water in verse 25 is representative of God's word. And I'll show you that in just a minute in verse 27. But the clean water that Ezekiel is talking about is the word of God. And so when Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born of water, the word, and the spirit. Water and the Spirit, not water and blood, physical birth, water, the Word, and the Spirit. You have to be cleansed with the Word and indwelt by the Spirit. Look at verse 26. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now, this is Ezekiel talking, but Jesus is taking Ezekiel's words and he's applying them to Nicodemus. Now, throughout John 3, you have to look for the pronoun you. Y-O-U. It's important. Now, we don't think much of the word you. We say it 100 times a day, but we don't think much about it. But why does Jesus keep saying you, 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 you? Not because he's talking to a crowd. He's talking to one person. And you can replace the word you with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, 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 Nicodemus. And so Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, using Ezekiel, talking to Nicodemus about his hard heart, about his idolatry. And what is Nicodemus's idolatry? His religion? His power? His position? So look at verse 27. And notice that the word spirit is capitalized, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So in verse 27, we have the combination of the word and the spirit. It's the spirit that will enable us to obey God's word. Now you have to hold on to the word spirit, because Jesus is going to refer Nicodemus doesn't know a whole lot about the Spirit of God. There's not a whole lot in the Old Testament about the Spirit of God. Now, Nicodemus knows Ezekiel. But how does the Spirit work? What does the Spirit do? And what's the Spirit going to do for me or do to me? So Jesus speaks about this. The Word is the water, and the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will enable Nicodemus to obey God's Word. So go back to John chapter 3 and verse 6. Jesus says to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh, that's the water and blood, is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, that's the water and the spirit, is spirit. Now, Nicodemus said in verse 2, unless God is with him. And verses 5 and 6, this is Ezekiel speaking, Jesus quoting Ezekiel. Now skip down to verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Now, please go investigate this on your own. You don't have to take my word for it. We're not going to turn to it now. But verse 13, Jesus is quoting Daniel. Daniel calls the Messiah the Son of Man. So, Jesus is speaking to the religious Jewish guy, quoting Ezekiel. Daniel, and Jesus is saying in verse 13, I am the Son of Man. I've descended from heaven, and I will ascend back to heaven. Jesus is saying, I am the God of Ezekiel, and I am the God of Daniel. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself or distract you, but you remember that Nicodemus and a man named Joseph buried Jesus? I think there are two reasons that Nicodemus helped to bury Jesus. One is because at that point, Nicodemus was a Christ follower. But I think the second reason Nicodemus was there is because he remembered this conversation and Jesus said, who is he who ascended, but the one that first descended? I think Nicodemus is playing Thomas here and saying, I want to be there when he ascends. I believe he descended from heaven. I want to be there when he ascends. Now, we have no record of whether he was in Acts chapter 1 or not, but I think Nicodemus is waiting for that. I think he's waiting for the ascension. Now, if that all confuses you, I'm sorry. But I believe that Nicodemus was eventually born again. So look at verse 14. And as Moses, wait a second. We have Ezekiel, we have Daniel, and we have Moses. Nicodemus knows these guys. He's taught about these guys. And now Jesus is telling Nicodemus what he already knows. And let me just stop here. And, you know, it's beneficial for us to learn from Jesus' example. He's using the scripture with Nicodemus. But he's also speaking to Nicodemus about what he knows. So, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now Jesus is talking about the Exodus. And if you're not familiar with that account, the people involved themselves in great sin. And God sent a plague to punish them. And the punishment was death if they were bitten by one of the snakes. So, God tells Moses, make a bronze serpent. Let me ask you this. How long does it take to make a bronze serpent? It takes a while. Do you know how many people died while Moses was making that serpent? That bronze serpent? Think about that. I mean, Moses didn't just reach in his pocket and say, I just happen to have one right here. So, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus about God's punishment, God's wrath on sinners. This is important. We want to downplay the wrath of God. We want to downplay the punishment of God. But there is no salvation apart from the punishment of God or the wrath of God. And God speaks to Nicodemus about God's punishment of sin. God's judgment on sin. But while he's talking about God's judgment on sin, God's punishment on sin, he gives the solution. He gives the mercy. He gives the love of God. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. So Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus and telling him who he is, connecting who he is to the wrath of God, the punishment of God, which is connected to sin, human sin. I want to stop right here because the Wednesday night class I taught this past year was a class on evangelism. And the class we used as one of our texts, the book by Greg Gilbert called The Gospel. And in the small book called The Gospel, Greg Gilbert presents the gospel using four key words. The four key words are God, man, Jesus, response. And just to kind of summarize what Gilbert says, if you take those four key words, now some of you, and I've shared with you, you know, one of the evangelism tools called the Romans Road. Some of you are familiar with Evangelism Explosion and the two key questions. Well, Gilbert summarizes the gospel in four key words: God, man, Jesus, response. And he says, basically, based on the amount of time you have to share the gospel with this particular person, you expand how long you talk about God, how long you talk about man, how long you talk about Jesus, and how long you talk about the response. But let me just give you an abbreviated version and kind of drawing it out of John chapter 3. Who is God? Well, God's holy. God is absolutely holy. He's perfect. He's without sin. He's without error. And by the way, if you're not familiar with this, you should be writing this down because this is what you're going to practice on the way to work tomorrow, with or without somebody in the car. You say, "Oh, Don, it only takes me 5 minutes to get to work." Good, you have 5 minutes. A minute and a quarter for God, man, Jesus, response. "Don, it takes me an hour to get to work." Great, you have 15 minutes, God, man, Jesus, response. Who is God? He's holy. And God has no imperfections. And a holy God deals with sin harshly. That's punishment. That's God's wrath. But God isn't just judgment and wrath. God is love. God is so loving that he sent his Son. That's the Son of Man in John chapter 3, verse 14. That's who God is. God is absolutely perfect. He is the Creator God. That's what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1. He is the Creator God. He created everything. He spoke everything into existence. And Jamie talking about the nephew who memorized Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We want him to know that God is the Creator. Who is God? Well, tell me, who is God? Can you tell me who God is for 1 minute? Can you talk to me about God for 3 minutes? Can you talk to me about who God is for 5 minutes? So practice. If Emma can practice for the forensics team, you can practice talking about who God is. 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Talk out loud. Who's God? But then who's man? Well, we're created. We're created by the Creator. We're created. And man created in an innocent state in the garden and chose sin. And the Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Bible says for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that I'm a sinner. I don't like that, but interestingly enough, it's part of the good news. The reality that I'm a sinner. And God, a holy God, deals with sin. He punishes sin. He judges sin. So can you talk about man for 1 minute, 5 minutes? Can you talk about man, who we are before God? And then Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. And that's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. It's interesting when the conversation starts and Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." He has this perception of Jesus. And do you know what? Your unsaved friends, your unsaved family have a misconception of who Jesus is. I sometimes hear it say, and I'm going to refrain from saying a religion, that, you know what, we believe the same things. You just say God, we say God, you say Jesus, whatever, it's all the same. No, it's not. There's a misconception about who Jesus is. Do you know who Jesus is? Can you talk about that for a minute or 3 minutes or 5 minutes? Colossians chapter 1. The preeminence of Jesus Christ, who he is. Ephesians chapter 1, what he's done for us. Can you talk about that for a minute? Turn off the radio, turn off the cell phone, and talk out loud. Practice. Nicodemus says, no one can do these signs you do unless God is with them. Jesus says, Nicodemus, you're off just a little bit. It's not the fact that God is with me. I am God. And that's the point of verse 13. And that's the point of verse 14. But one other thing that we need to notice here. Jesus is trying to get Nicodemus to make the connection between the bronze serpent and Jesus, between God and Jesus. But verse 7, look at verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. It's that personal pronoun. You. Jesus is talking to you, Nicodemus. I'm talking to you, Nicodemus. I'm talking to you. And that's the reality of the gospel. If I share the gospel with you, I'm talking to you about your hard heart, about your sin. The Lord is speaking through us to this sinner who needs to personalize the truth of the gospel. Don't talk about humanity generically. Talk to the human you're talking to specifically. It's their sin. Because you know what? Your sin isn't sending me to hell. My sin is what will send me to hell. We're speaking directly, personally. And that's what Jesus is doing here with Nicodemus. Listen, Nicodemus, Ezekiel isn't talking about Israel. Ezekiel is talking about you. Have you thought about your heart, your hard heart, your heart of stone? Your sin, Nicodemus, has separated you from the Lord. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how education you have, about the power you have, about the religion you have. The money can't change your heart. The education can't change your heart. The power can't change your heart. Your religion can't change your heart. And that's perplexing to people, isn't it? Because they think that religion is gonna get them into heaven. And Jesus says, no, it's not. You must be born again. This is personal. And all of us need to have a Nicodemus moment. So verse 8, how does the Lord work? Well, the wind blows. We're talking about the Holy Spirit now from Ezekiel 36. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. You know, when we lived in our old house in the old sub, many of you had been to that house, and now Joel and Susan, Peter's lived there, so others of you have been to their house. But, you know, we were the last house on the east end of a cul-de-sac. Eight houses in the cul-de-sac, and we were at the far east end of the cul-de-sac. And many times in the summer, the garbage men would come early, before you were out of bed early. So if you didn't put your trash out the night before, you might miss it. So people put their trash out at night, and then the wind blows. And guess where the recycling ends up? At the east end of the cul-de-sac, which is my house, my yard. You get up in the morning and there's trash in your yard. How did it get there? Well, I know someone didn't bring it and dump it into my yard. I assume the wind blew it down there. I see the effects of the wind. We hear the wind, but we don't know when the wind is coming or where it's going to blow or exactly what's going to happen. And that's what God says, or Jesus says to Nicodemus. Listen, the Spirit works. We're not talking about pragmatism here. God works through His Spirit. When? Where? Why? How? But really what Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you didn't come see me. The wind blew you here. How does God work? I don't know. But it's amazing to me that He uses Legos. It amazes me that He uses me. It amazes me that He uses you. Not because I think ill of you, but I know you're just like me. And God uses you. God works like the wind. Look at verse 9. So Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Which part of this are you talking about, Nicodemus? Blood and water, blood and the Spirit, the wind. What are you talking about, Nicodemus? What a great question. Nicodemus is saying, what? So, verse 10. Look at verse 10. Jesus says, it doesn't matter who you are, Nicodemus. And it doesn't matter what you have accomplished, Nicodemus. What matters is verse 11. You need to receive all of this. It's a mystery. Nicodemus is educated. He's a teacher. He knows the scriptures. But he doesn't get this. Jesus answers questions. This is a give and take. And with our family members, some of whom we live with who don't know Christ, we answer questions. We take the time. Or with people who come to Lego Adventure Week, we take the time to answer questions. The first service, Daryl gave a testimony, someone asking him questions. I had the opportunity to talk to a dad. I think he was here every night this week. I said hello to him every night, but I got a chance to talk to him on Friday night. We talked for probably 15 or 20 minutes. And he was asking some questions, asking questions about church, who we are, why we do this. The answer to those questions aren't because we like kids. We do like kids, hopefully. But that's not why we do this. There's a greater purpose, and it's the gospel. So, verse 14 is the reminder of God's punishment of sin, but it's also a reminder of God's mercy. Moses lifted up the bronze serpent. So, this is the answer to Nicodemus's question in verse 9. What do these things mean? So, Jesus is answering his questions. So, look at verse 15. That whoever believes in him, who? Well, the Son of Man, who is the serpent in the wilderness, is a picture or pointing to the Son of Man. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Because this is how it works. We think that when Grandpa dies, he goes to heaven because I want him to. But that's not how it works. There needs to be a transferal of trust. We need to believe in the Son of Man, who the bronze serpent points to. Because verse 16, we know God so loved the world. Here's part of our 5 minutes on God. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever, that's part of our 5 minutes on man, believes in him. That's part of our 5 minutes on Christ, and 5 minutes and our response should not perish, but have eternal life. We know the gospel, and yet we say, I don't witness because I don't know what to say. Here's what to say. And go practice. I want to end with this because it's the great contrast, and just this verse, verse 36, just jumped out at me when we preached through the Gospel of John. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Yes. Praise the Lord. Whoever does not, whoever believes, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides in him. I don't know your grandpa. Probably I don't know your grandpa. I'm sure I would love him if I did. But just the fact that you love your grandpa doesn't mean he's going to heaven. What a contrast verse 36 is. Verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. What a contrast. This is who we are. This is what we believe. This is what we speak. Heavenly Father, open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to absorb this, to know this. Help our confidence not to be in our flesh. Help our confidence to be in you, that you are anxious to change hearts of stone into spirit. Born again believers. Help us to be faithful with your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.